Today's Mother's Day, and I want to acknowledge that for everybody here, there's a different emotion. Some people are celebrating, some people are being celebrated, some are grieving. It's a very different time, and we want to acknowledge that. And during the service, we're doing a completely different service. So we want to be able to have different understandings and connections with what motherhood is, what motherhood could be, and what motherhood can teach us.
Dave, I'm just a bit disappointed because you didn't do a competition to see who had the most Mother's Day this year. And I've had Mother's Day 4 days in a row because Dion brought a present home on Thursday. He goes, I'm just getting in early. And then all day Friday, he's like, Happy Mother's Day. I hope you're having a lovely day, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, thanks. So, yeah, that's true. Yeah, I am blessed. But growing up, we did not celebrate Mother's Day because my father said, every day is Mother's Day. So the Bible does tell us, so I'll take my glasses off so I can read it. The commandment is honour your mother and father. It's given first in Exodus 20, verse 12, and then it's repeated 7 more times in the Bible. So we can assume that it's pretty important to God that we honour our mother and our father. And also when you think of Jesus standing at the cross, he turned to the disciple, John, and said, take care of my mother. That was the one thing that he did, his affairs that he fixed up before he left. I just would love to honour my mother today. She's not here. She's in Adelaide. I saw her a couple of weeks ago, which was really lovely. She doesn't travel much anymore, so you probably won't get to meet her. But she's a wonderful mother. I love her very much. I love my dad too. And I'll just tell you a little bit about her. So growing up, she grew up in Adelaide and has lived in Adelaide most of her whole life, except for a couple of years where she went overseas and taught in Scotland. But when she married Dad, they had 4 daughters in 4 years. And alongside my dad, my mum just provided for every need that we had. I've got to say, they took it seriously. They did a good job, I would say. And mum set us an example of hard work, responsibility, good manners, and caring for others. And her favourite saying was, if you can't say anything nice, don't say anything at all. That's why I'm pretty quiet. Mum always encouraged us to better ourselves. She bought me my first cello. She drove me and sat through many, many concerts and performances. Later life, we travelled together overseas, and we shared a common interest of tennis. So we always enjoyed watching and talking about what was happening there, and art and books and all of those good things. So we have that, we enjoy those shared interests. And I was going to read Proverbs 31, a woman of noble character, because it really does sum up my mum, but we have already done that. And then I was going to read Corinthians 13, because that's my mum's verse. Like, and that's her too. She's patient, she's kind, she's not easily angered. So I'll just skip that bit. Children are a gift from God, and it is a joy and privilege to have them. Psalm 127 verse 3 says, behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, offspring a reward from him. And they are also a great responsibility and a lot of hard work. With motherhood comes the sacrifice of one's time, money, and both physical and emotional energy. And again from Proverbs 31, she gets up while it's still night. She provides food for her family. She sets about her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for her tasks. To say that motherhood comes with its ups and downs is just a gross understatement. And I'll just go through three examples of women in the Bible. First mother was Eve, and her first two children, Cain and Abel. And they didn't get on. Sin had only just come into the world, but they didn't get on. And Cain ended up killing his brother. And I just think what great sorrow Eve must have felt finding one of her sons dead and the other a murderer. Just devastating. Naomi, not only a widow where her husband had died, but also her two sons. She'd lost both of her sons. She was in a foreign land. But when she returned back to Judah, her daughter-in-law, Ruth, resolved to go with her. And not only that, Ruth resolved to follow her God. And from that, we have her marriage to Boaz, and their child Obed, who was the father of Jesse, who was the father of David. So God uses all people and all situations. And he, from Psalm 147, he heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. And Mary, wow, she was really put on the spot. Having Jesus, being told how amazing and how important her child was, watching him grow in wisdom, being followed by the masses, rising in popularity, and then cruelly crucified on the cross. It would be so hard to understand, to fathom, to grasp that love. Until he reappeared on the third day, resurrected. As it says in Jeremiah 31, I will turn their mourning into gladness. I will give them comfort and joy instead of sorrow. These are just three examples. You can find lots more. The reality is, though, that women everywhere, even today, experience the highest of highs and the lowest of lows through motherhood. That's what I've experienced in my life. For me, the hardest thing was losing a child. But the greatest thing for me through motherhood is that I came to know and love Jesus. So when I was pregnant with my first child, Nicholas, we went along to have the heartbeat checked, and it was going boom, 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 boom. And I'm like, that's so cool. Like, my son's going to be a drummer. But then it hit me, that realization, oh no, that should not be happening. Like, the heartbeat should be steady. There could be a problem here. And I felt guilt straight away that I'd been joking about it. Shame. But also how much I loved this child that I hadn't even met yet. It was just an overwhelming love, like, that I'd never felt, and this responsibility that came along with it. We had many difficulties in those early days with Nicholas, but he was such a joy as a child. He was just so delightful. If you could have seen him, when we'd go to the airport to meet mum and dad, he'd do a handstand for them every time and just go into clown mode. And he's just so good to talk to. He's just has an incredible mind and capabilities. But of course, it wasn't all smooth sailing. It never is. I've just said that love was new to me, that love for my child. And as a glimpse, perhaps, into the love the Father has for his people. The Lord appeared to us in the past, saying, I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have drawn you with unfailing kindness. It's that love that you would lay down your life for your child. And it wasn't until I lost my second child, Alex, through miscarriage, that I realized I had a deep need for God's love and comfort. I suffered immense grief at this time. I was in a fog of despair. I felt like no one could understand my loss. I was physically unable to even talk about it at all. I struggled to make sense of how I was feeling or what to do about it. I was helpless. So in desperation, I turned to our parish priest, and as God would have it, Reverend Bob, he also had lost a child in similar circumstances. So I was able to sit and talk to him for hours, and he was able to empathize with me and understand some of how I was feeling. And I was able to talk. And the most important thing was he was able to assure me of a hope that I'd never had, that one day, that my unborn child was with God in heaven. Up to this point in my life, I never really even worried about that stuff. But this made my ears suddenly prick up. Here was a promise that if I went to heaven, I would one day know and be with my missing child, and that was the only thing I could do. As I prayed together with Father Bob, a wave of peace that passes all understanding came over me, and the Spirit was in me. And from that time on, I began to seek God, to know Him, to trust Him, and to love Him. As Romans 5:5 says, "And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us." And I'm just forever thankful for that. Then when our third child, Annalise, was born, I looked into her eyes, and it was one of those God moments where I realized how much God loved me in that moment, just looking into her eyes. I felt like He was saying, "Look, I couldn't do anything about Alex, or that is what it is. But here is a child, a daughter for you to love, and she has brought us great joy. She has brought us great joy. She's a wonderful girl." I will never forget that moment when I suddenly understood and knew how great God's love was for me. And I'm forever grateful that He rescued me from the depths of despair. Our God is a God of redemption. We suffer losses in this fallen world, but He promises that greater things are yet to come. And in Revelation 21, it says, "I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and He will dwell with them. They will be His people, and God Himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, no mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away.' He who was seated on the throne said, 'I am making everything new.' And then He said, 'Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true.'" When we put our trust in Him, we experience His unfailing love, mercy, grace, and receive the promise of life eternal with Him, where there will be no more death and no more tears. So would you pray with me? I thank You, Heavenly Father, for our mothers who gave us life, who taught us, loved us, love us, and cared for us. Help us to care for all mothers and to support them and to encourage them. We thank You for the gift of children, and we thank You that You are with us in the highs and lows of motherhood, that You extend redemption to all those who will trust in You. And we thank You for all these things in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen.
There are experiences of receiving all the positive attributes of having a great mother. For others, they grew up with the conflicted emotions of loving their mum, but also recognizing that she struggled to be the mum that they needed. For me, I was blessed to have women around me who covered some of the mothering role. And for many of them, they were not mothers biologically. My youth group leader, my teacher, my coach, my sisters, and other leaders. You see, having the heart of a mother is not something you only get when you become a mother. I've had parents say to the younger me when I was leading youth, but you won't truly understand love until you've had a child. And that wrong comment is still being said, unfortunately. Having the heart of a mother isn't about giving birth. It's an attitude of a heart, a desire and willingness to care for and nurture others. It's a heart attitude that reflects God's mother's heart, a heart attitude that we, as His church, are challenged to bring to each other and to those outside of the church on a consistent basis. There are many traits that come from a mother's heart, but I wanted to highlight three that I think we can decide to grow on in as followers of Jesus. The first one is unconditional acceptance. You know, there's a reason for the saying only a mother could love them, and it's not the person. Those with a mother's heart are able to accept unconditionally. You know, generally as people, we can accept, but we often do it with conditions. I'll accept them as long as. Do you know what your condition is? As long as they dress a certain way, as long as they do or say what I agree with, as long as they don't make me feel uncomfortable, as long as they, what's your as long as they condition? A person with a mother's heart attitude has no exclusions on acceptance. People can let you down and they can create deep sadness. Even in times when a mother's heart needs to put some strong boundaries in place for their own physical and emotional safety because of the person's actions, the mother's heart will still unconditionally accept in their heart the person. The second trait is comforting. Isaiah 66:13 says, "As a mother comforts her child, so I will comfort you." What's your picture of comfort? Snuggling in a warm blanket on a cold night, a large bowl of favorite comfort food. When we think of a mother's comfort, it's a place where we can be totally vulnerable in what we're thinking and feeling, knowing that no matter what we are feeling or going through, there's 100% acceptance and love. One of the best pictures I've seen of a mother's heart and comfort was when I needed to accompany a young girl to hospital after a serious self-harm incident. I had worked with this girl for a few years and so had a close relationship with her, and so she allowed me to be with her as she went through the medical emergency system. What I did during that time was comfort her. Well, that's what I thought I did. Not long after, her foster mum came into the room and another level of comfort was reached. It wasn't because I wasn't doing a good job. It wasn't because this woman carried the title of mum. It was because the depth of their relationship. It was a relationship that provided a unique and healing level of comfort to the situation. And that only comes through vulnerability and acceptance. Are we prepared to be the place where others can feel loved and accepted, not so completely that we are prepared to be and allow vulnerability in what we are feeling and going through? This type of comfort can only come where there is a sense of safety and acceptance. This type of relationship is the type God wants with us, and He wants us to have with each other. We cannot receive comfort from God if we are not totally truthful and vulnerable with Him. And the third trait is sacrificial love. Those with a mother's heart will often sacrifice time, career, identity, autonomy, sleep, energy, privacy, and many other things. But they all come from an attitude of sacrificial love. Jewish mothers walked into gas chambers comforting their children, not because them themselves were chosen to go in, but their children were. And their love for their children was greater than their lives. A teacher in the middle of the school shooting stands between the shooter and the children of their class. A youth group leader who takes a young person under their wing and involves them in all aspects of their lives, including bringing them into their home, costing them their privacy, their time, emotional stability, and financials. A mother's heart stands in the middle of injustice and speaks up for and protects the vulnerable and those without a voice, possibly costing them friendships, finances, reputation, and isolation. The mother's heart does not come from being a woman or being a biological mother. It comes from God's heart. He created both the father and the mother's heart. And when we see God as having both a father and a mother's heart, we recognize more of his character and better understand the many attributes of ourselves in his image. The challenge to us is, who are you being a mother's heart to? God will bring, or may have already brought, someone to you that he's asking you to be his mother's heart to. The question is, are you willing to bring a mother's heart, his heart, a heart of unconditional acceptance, comfort, sacrificial love to this person? Are you prepared to be the mother's heart to those around you?
Love is risk. Love leads to joy. Love leads to pain. Families are filled with love. Families are filled with pain. We sit here with different histories, with different experiences. And some of us, when we think family, there's good feelings. Many of us have pain. Pain through broken relationships, pain through loss, pain through brokenness. Where is God with you in this space? I want to pray, but I want to just leave a space of quiet for each of us to sit before God. A part of that being, what can I do in my family to bring healing? And a part of it is, as Janelle was saying, how can I be more of God's love to those around me? How can I be the father, mother, heart of God to those I'm connected with in my physical family, in my emotional family, and in my spiritual family? So I'm just going to have a moment of quiet, and then I'll pray. So let's pray together. Father, we just want to acknowledge that today is a day of grief for many people. Grief of broken families, of distance, of loss. Father, of broken dreams and broken promises. Father, we acknowledge that you are a God of love, that you are a God of healing, that you are a God of you are a God who cares for us and is present with us and walks with us. And Father, as we celebrate those around us that we love, we grieve with those around us who grieve. We laugh with those who love, and we cry with those who cry. Father, help us to be people of healing, people of hope, people of grace and mercy. Father, help us to be willing to risk, to willing to risk pain, but also willing to risk joy. Father, help us not to live for ourselves, but for us to live for you, and to live for our brothers and sisters. Thank you for those who have shared today, and I ask that you bring them strength, support, love, and your presence. And Jesus, we just acknowledge that you are a great and mighty God, and we thank you for all you are and all you do, and the hope that we have in you. In Jesus' name, amen.